morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. We're talking about over tourism. Over tourism today, Mike.
Yes. I like today's show, Steve. This is one of our local shows. We're going to have, you know, a couple of gamokes on that are going to talk about whatever happens in Sedona. But no, we got two classy guys. We got Steve Segner. We got Steve Jablow of the Sedona City
Council.
Scott
Jablow.
Scott, that's what
Scott's
I said.
Scott's on the city council.
Well, we had a lot of Steves here this morning. We got a crap load of Steves.
And Steve Segner is the chair of the tourism
innkeeper.
Lodging Council.
What's your title on that?
President of the Lodging Council.
So he knows a thing or two about tourism. The other thing is that over tourism is still not considered a word. If you see it all over. Written as one word, but it's still spelled wrong.
Apparently the term was developed in 2012, but it wasn't until 2017 that it's extensively used. So, folks, if you want more information, just go on the internet and type in over tourism as one word, and you'll get a whole bunch of
Wikipedia things. Has it now, but CNN did a big thing on it.
Yeah, did they? So it's an international issue, and it's certainly an issue in Sedona. So we want to talk about what's happening in Sedona and the Verde Valley, because down in Cottonwood, you're getting more and more tourists in Old Town.
Well, one of the things I think that the Sedona City Council has done, the Sedona Chamber has done, is they've talked about visitor experience. And when the tourism starts to impact, it's one thing, I don't want to say it's one thing when it impacts residents, and it is another thing when it starts impacting the tourists themselves. Yep. So one of their pillars in their sustainable tourism plan is about visitor experience. And I think what we're seeing, we've heard plenty, these guys have heard plenty about the residents, and we're going to talk about that. The impact on the residents, but it's also impacting the visitors.
Right. If you, I used to hike Fay Canyon a lot, and there's so many people on it now that I hike other places. You modify behavior. We were talking about the show. If you go into an art museum and you have to stand in line to see a painting rather than be able to wander freely around, it degrades the experience. And so managing tourism, controlling tourism and dealing with the issues that it develops. And Sedona has been very, very successful. And now we're dealing, Steve, right, with the problems that develop when you're very successful and lots of people are coming here.
Well, you know, in manufacturing, you can always make more of a product. But in tourism, you can't. The place is set. So you have Sedona, you have the Grand Canyon, you have Yellowstone Park. So as you get more people want to go to that. What we try to do is disperse them. So the chambers worked really, really hard in Sedona to disperse people, not going up to certain hikes, getting them on other trails, moving them outside of the city. We've gotten criticism for saying, well, why is the city and the chamber, you know, promoting areas outside the city? Well, we want people to go to Jerome. We want them to go to the vineyards. We want to get them out of town and spread them around a little bit so we don't experience, like you were saying, everybody's in line trying to see the picture.
Steve, does the Tourism Council, do you guys have statistics on how many people visit Sedona in a year?
I don't, but, you know, the numbers we hear are from 2.5 million to 3.5 million. The chamber knows more, but it's a significant number. And you have to remember, we're just 100 miles away from Phoenix. Phoenix is growing at about 80,000 new residents a year.
And there's already 5 million there.
Yeah, and they're in their 30s.
I've been going to Phoenix a lot, and everybody I've met in Phoenix comes up to Sedona for vacation. Some people with young children come up for Slide Rock. Other people come up for the weekend. Everybody seems to come to Sedona. It's like a major destination for people, even Phoenix. I was in Silver City in New Mexico, southern New Mexico, beautiful place. They don't have this problem. They don't have enough tourists, and the difference is just what you were talking about. We have Phoenix 80, 90 miles away, and they don't have a large city nearby.
Right.
And so they don't get that.
So you have to, I have to turn it around a little bit, and I don't see it as a problem at all. I have to say that we have a city that has a great budget, 78% paid for by visitors. We're able to fix our roads. We're able to do a lot of things that other cities can't. We came through the recession better than probably any city in America because of we have a good visitor base very close by.
Scott, what's the city council's perspective? I know you can't speak for the whole council, but you're on the council. You've been on there many years. And what's your take on all of this?
Well, it's my personal opinion that we need to take care of not just the tourism, not just the residents, but we also have businesses, restaurants. We have to keep everybody happy. And it's a very, very tough act to balance. But if we don't have a healthy business economy, we don't have a city.
Yeah, I mean, the only real industry in Sedona, if you can call it industry, is tourism, right?
Correct.
And well, it's getting to be a bigger and bigger industry, even down in Cottonwood. And
well, it is, Denver. Yeah. You can, no, I can't deny that. I spent a lot of time in Old Town Cottonwood, and it's one of the success stories of the state, you know, what's happened in downtown Cottonwood.
If we were Flint, Michigan, would they be complaining that General Motors was opening up another plant? No. So this is our industry. We have to look at it as our industry a little bit. And yes, it impinges on the people living here, but the people living here came because they were visitors and they got Red Rock fever and they bought. We basically have the same number of people living here that we did 20 years ago.
It's about 10,000 people.
It's about 8,500 to 10,000, a good 20% second and third homes here. So, you know, I think what we have to do is we have to get out, and I encourage people, get out and meet the visitors. You know, when you meet the visitors, deal with them. Yes, they're going to be on your trailhead, so talk to them. You know, see them as a resource.
Don't
see them
as a problem. Get off my trailhead?
Yeah, don't look at it as mine and yours. I hear so many people talking about our town and my streets and my roads. It's ours. We have a city that overlays two state highways next to the very busiest state park in the state, Slide Rock State Park, and then we complain. So the complaining is not going to get us anything. We have to work with the city manager, and the chamber to work on the experience. We're taking our marketing money this year, and we're putting another bathroom uptown. We're going to do a lot of things that not advertising, but we want a better visitor experience.
And, Scott, you had some statistics one time when I talked to you about the number of visitors in the cars who just drive through Sedona and don't stop.
I believe the number is over 50% of the people drive right through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really hard to do anything about that. Because they're not visitors. They're just driving right through, but yet they're causing the traffic.
It's one of the most beautiful drives in Arizona or probably the country to go up the canyon.
Right. Like for people who don't know, we do have the canyon, which is only one way in each direction. It can't be widened. It can't be improved in any way, shape, or form because of the rocks, the mountainside and the rocks. So it's a bad pinch point. So what we are doing, we increased our sales tax just a half a percent, and we're improving our roadway system so we remove those pinch points in different areas around town.
I'm in uptown a lot because the Sedona Arts Center is there. And I noticed that the roundabout's about half finished. It is no break in traffic at all. It is really, really, at the Arts Center, they're saying, well, people are not coming because they hear uptown is all torn up. But in fact, it's been a very, very smooth construction project of the new roundabout.
Right. From what I've heard, the road construction is not hurting the traffic. Some of the outdoor restaurants are losing a bit of customers because they don't want to sit outside while the construction's going on, which is normal. But people aren't going to be
100
chased
degrees
away.
Might have something to do with that, too.
We have some of our outdoor cafes have, sprayed, water sprayed, seating areas and shade. But they don't want to sit outside during construction. But the construction itself really is not chasing people away.
Yeah, so from the council's point of view, I'm sorry, Steve. From the council point of view, Scott, what is the problem that the tourism brings? What are the advantages to the city? There's no property tax. We know that. We keep repeating it, and we keep hearing that I'm a taxpayer. Well, you know, I pay any taxes to the city. So what does the city see as the major problem? And then let's ask Steve, what do you see as the major problem with this, and what's the virtue of this increase?
Well, taking tourism away from everything else on its own, we don't have a problem. We've been managing the situation in tourism quite well between the chamber and the city. We're managing it nicely. What is becoming a problem now is people coming through the vacation rentals, which has always been a problem for me. The corporate entities are coming in and buying up every house, and they're filling these houses, and that's bringing a lot of people here. And instead of one person or one family, husband and wife, coming to a hotel room, you're having houses with four or five bedrooms filling up.
Amsterdam just cut the amount of days that you can rent your house out or your a bedroom or whatever it is from 60 to 30 days. They're so overwhelmed by Airbnb type of rentals.
Well, what I've been finding is across the country, most cities are doing exactly that. Sedona is in Arizona, of course, and our Arizona state legislature have said that we can't do anything to curtail or interfere with vacation rentals at all. So it's the removal of local control, as we call it, that's really causing a problem. We can't regulate them. We have over 1,100 of them now in town, and there's no way to regulate them because of state legislature.
What's the impact on the hospitality industry,
Well,
Steve?
I think 2 years ago when it hit, the West Side really got busy during the Easter break, and we got blamed at the hotels. The city's been very good about adding hotel rooms. We've only had 200 hotel rooms added, I think, in the last 10 years. But we've had over 1,500 Airbnbs added in the last 2 years. So just do the numbers. Now, people are looking for somebody to blame. And first they looked at the hotels. Well, we haven't added any rooms. Then they looked at the city, and the city's saying, hey, it's out of our hands. And what we need to say is you need to look at the governor. The governor's idea was, when he came in, that he was going to take away unnecessary state regulation. He had a special bill that he wanted to do, which was 1350. He didn't hold any open hearings. He didn't ask the chamber. He didn't ask cities. He just put this in place. Well, the unintended consequences were that it took away the power from the people closest to it, the city council, and it gave the power to the state. And the state really didn't understand that Sedona is special and that this would happen. And so now they're kind of rolling their eyes and saying it's unintended consequences. It wasn't unintended at all because they never asked. So the problem is now is that
Didn't even hold hearings, Steve. There was no discussion.
I hired someone to go down and talk for us. I tried to meet with governor. He wouldn't hear from us. I was told that the governor is passing this. This is his premier legislation, and he wouldn't listen to us. So now what's happened is they're little by little, they're taking control away from the cities and they're moving it to the state because they don't want the local government, to do things they aren't happy with. The idea was, when we asked the other day to who was the senator?
Bob Thorpe. He's our state representative.
He said, well, we don't want cities making laws. We want to make sure that what happens to a 7-Eleven in Sedona is the same law that happens to a 7-Eleven in Phoenix. Well, that's ridiculous. What he was saying was they didn't want any liberal legislation, crazy things like banning plastic bags. So this really came out of this whole idea of being scared of liberal governments.
That's exactly what it is.
So let's take away the power from these liberal governments and centralize it down in Phoenix where these sane people are. Well,
or as we say on Democratic perspective, we say reasonable governments.
Yes.
Not liberal.
Yes.
And that's the difference. It's the whole idea of local control. So don't forget, the name of the show is Democratic Perspective. So we're talking about the Republican governor gave orders to the Republican legislature to pass that the lodging the Airbnb rules and to take away the power of local governments to control their own living environment. It's a little bit insane. I want to talk about numbers also, and I don't know if you're through, Steve, but I know you have more. Jennifer Wesselhoff, Sedona Chamber CEO, and she has a couple of other titles, but wonderful person. She was on PBS Arizona Horizon, one of my favorite shows. was introduced by Ted Simons, and it says, with 3 million visitors, Sedona teamed up with Arizona State University's Center for Sustainable Tourism to come up with the state's first sustainable tourism plan. The plan was developed after 18 months of community meetings, focus groups, surveys, and more. Jennifer Wesseloff was then introduced. Now, the numbers I want to talk to you guys about is that 3 million number. I've been in the area here, and certainly in Sedona all through the 70s, but I've been in the area since 72, and I keep hearing 3 million people. So is it 3 million? Is it 10 million? Is it 5 million? How many people come to Sedona, and how do you count it, I guess?
That's the problem. How do you count it? I think Jennifer's number is fairly close, but Scott made a point
this
earlier.
This was Ted Simons' number, yeah. By the way.
I think I've heard that number bandied around 2.5 million to 3 million. Well, let's look at that number for a second. We've already heard that the State Highway Commission has said 50% of the people never stop in Sedona on 89A and 179. So you have 1.5 million people driving through just because it's a state highway.
Right.
Sedona has always been a little expensive. You know, we don't have a lot of hotel rooms. The average rate's between $250 and $500 a night. So when you only have 800-900 rooms and you have thousands of people, you can be a little more selective. The city government and the Lodging Council has always tried to get people from out of state who are going to come 3 or 4 days. They're going to spend $1,000 a day. They're going to buy meals. They're going to buy art. They're going to stay around. Well, with the Airbnb opening up, all of a sudden, Sedona became more affordable, as low as $89 a night, even cheaper if you rent some places for $300 and they sleep 12. So now we've got Sedona at $15 and $20 a night, hence the huge population and hence a population that's different than people who spend $300 a night. Okay, they drink in the front lawn. They party a little bit. They're on ATVs. It's a different clientele, and the people aren't used to it in Sedona, and they're pushing back, and rightly so.
I want to talk about what's happening in other parts of the world. In Kyoto, you know, so we're talking 3 million visitors in Sedona. In Kyoto, they had 50 million. They've had 50 million every year since 2013. And you talk about a difference in – now, Kyoto, as some of you know, at least in my mind, is this very sedate, ancient Japanese capital. But they got – now they have half-naked hikers that they're dealing with and all the other things that you're talking mm-hmm. about, which is just Machu Picchu, a World Heritage Site. Now, they're overrun with 400,000 visitors a year. So the numbers –
you have to buy a ticket now to go to Machu Picchu, and you have to leave. If you don't leave by a certain time, then they charge you double.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure you travelers out there know this, but I'm going to mispronounce it. The Philippine island of Boracay, they shut down. They had so many tourists, and this was such a popular place. That's all the one with the white beaches that they show all the time. They shut down for over 6 months. They just flat shut it down. And tourist places don't do that. I mean, you just flat, you don't close it.
You say you want to talk numbers, so let's talk numbers. Baby boomers after World War II were accumulators. They bought things for their house. They bought homes. They bought cars. So they used, and then when they traveled, they hiked, they camped, they used trailers. And, it, you know, when I was younger in the 50s and 60s, there weren't hotels around that much. There were like little seedy places along Route 66. The people nowadays, which is a bigger number than the boomers, they are experiential. They want to travel. They want to see. They want to do, but they aren't buying things. So their product that they're using are cities and locations. A prime example of that is we're having a slow summer in Sedona right now. And I think one of the reasons we're having a slow summer is people are going to the slot canyons because they're photographic, they're on the websites. So people see things on social media, and they say, I want to go there. And the way you show off to your friends now is you go to these places and you take
a picture.
Where, so it's a little bit different. The new millennials are not buying things. They're going places and doing things, and they're eating.
Let me give you one statistic internationally. In 1960, when the jet age began, there were 25 million international trips. Last year, there were 1.3 billion.
Wow.
So that's a huge impact. And I think what Mike was talking about, there's been demonstrations in Barcelona. Yes. Amsterdam is right. doing this. Iceland is not letting people leave their airport.
Right.
The Galapagos are having trouble with not the boat. Yeah, not with the boat tourists, but with the land tourists, because it's just little, they're a little island. And you could go on and on. I was going to say, go ahead, Mike.
One of the nice things I like, Condé Nast did a whole article on the 15 places that are overrun by tourists. Sedona wasn't on the list, by the way. And it had it nicely organized, what the problem was, what the locals are doing about it, and what the visitors can do about it, which I thought was a nice approach. So we're going to talk about a few of those, but I also want to mention that Sedona's slow summer is because of Donald J. Trump. Mm-hmm. You don't see European visitors like you used to in Sedona and the Grand Canyon. And so I believe
that's a good point.
That's what you're missing.
I think that's right, Mike. When I did drove Jeeps, we got the international tourists from everywhere, from Mexico to Germany, Italy, and France came in the summers, because that's when they vacation.
Yes.
Europeans vacation in August and sometimes in July.
And not to mention, anybody with brown skin feels like a target here. So that covers a lot of Central South America and a lot of places in the world. So as far as I'm sort of appreciating the slow summer in some ways. But if you get on I-17, it doesn't look too like a very slow summer.
Yeah, and if you're over in Uptown, it doesn't look like a slow summer. I it changes your behavior. You know, when I arrived in Sedona, everybody was very friendly. When I leave the Arts Center, there's so much traffic, I have to push my nose in like it was New York. I mean, I drive across and basically come close to blocking the northbound, and then they force them to let me in the southbound traffic. And the people I notice who are very polite, I sit behind their cars for a long time. It's affected my behavior.
Well, I think if you live in any city with congestion, you learn to work around the congestion. You know, I came from California where there was congestion every day and took 45 minutes to 2 hours to get to work, and that's just the way it was. So I think people come here and they take some 8 more minutes to get the bashes, and all of a sudden they're having a rash. Well, I live up the canyon, and for the last 18 years, I can't go home on Saturday and come back to the hotel on Saturday afternoon, because all the college kids are going up there swimming. They all leave at 3 o'clock, and they all head back through Sedona. That's just the way it is. So it's nothing that new. I think the key is we can't bitch about it. We have to have a long-term visitor plan. We need to look and get state numbers and say, what's the growth going to be in Phoenix and metropolitan Phoenix for the next 10 years? How is that going to affect us? And then we need, as a city, we need to come up with a tourism plan. How are we going to handle tourism? This idea of dropping people off on Jeeps and picking them up on 89A is ridiculous, okay? So we're working with that. We will work that direction. We have a good city council, but it's going to be planning. It's not going to go away. We're going to have to plan for growth. And when somebody says, well, we have to plan on traffic, people get crazy. But we do have to plan on it.
Well, I want to talk about that. Talk about the irony. Mm-hmm. Sedona, on July 24th, just won the Governor's Sustainable Tourism Award. I mean, and Jennifer Hawassoff, I believe, went down to accept it. And some of the things she said, we are not alone. Tourism is expanding all around Arizona and all over the world. We are the first destination in Arizona to come together to define our vision of the future of tourism and create a plan to achieve specific, measurable objectives. So Sedona has done this, and I've looked at the plan, and it's pretty good as far as I can tell. But it's all real fresh.
But guess who pays for the plan? It's made by the bed tax. And the people talk about the bed tax, but the city of Sedona has an income because we have a bed tax. That money is used for plans like this. It's used for bathrooms. It's used for parking. So we actually are not taxing our residents for any of this. We are taxing the tourism to improve the location and the time.
So, Scott, I mean, city can't do anything about Airbnbs. They're forbidden to regulate Airbnbs, and we have these preposterous these structures that are being built from the ground up that have 10 bathrooms and 8 bedrooms and a bunk room, and they're put in residential areas.
That's correct.
So you can't do anything about it. What can the city, what is the city council trying to do to moderate and how tourism affects the town?
Well, I think we're going to continue the way we have been going, because it seems for tourism, like I was saying before, tourism, aside from everything else, is fine. The problem is the vehicle traffic. People are seeing the vehicle traffic and associating that and comparing it to tourism. When we have these Airbnbs, and I hate to keep going back to that, but these Airbnbs have multiple bedrooms. When you compare the, Steve, I think you said 1,200 rooms, and that's 1,200 rooms. We have 1,100 houses for vacation rental. Many of those have more than one room. Most of them have 3, 4, and more bedrooms. These houses are being filled up. Multiple cars come in. During Easter and spring break, you're seeing houses, vacation rentals, with 2, 3, and 4 cars. Now, when they want to go out to dinner, they're not going in one car. They have to take at least 2 or 3 cars to fit all those people to go out to dinner. Sure, they might eat in the home that they're renting, but most times they're going out. If they want to go on a Jeep tour, they're going to bring their own SUV or ATV with them, and they do. They trailer them in. So now you have a lot of cars. If they want to go to a trailhead, they're not taking one car. They're taking multiple cars, and they're filling up our roads. We were never planned for that, ever. And that's where we're seeing the high traffic volume for the vacation rentals. Yes, they're all legal. We can't do anything about them. It is, as they say, it is what it is.
Just the thing I noticed, Scott, is that the people that Steve represents, the tourism are in commercial areas.
Right.
The Airbnbs are in residential neighborhoods.
That's correct.
I think that's what's disturbing people, because you have a commercial strip where your hotels are, Steve, and that's where they are, and everybody knows that's where they are, and they're all concentrated in that. Now we've got all the neighborhoods are filling up with these Airbnbs.
Right. Well, and that's a problem. When everybody buys a home residential neighborhood, they're zoned for residential. There's different levels of residential, depends on the size of the acreage of the lot, but they're all residential. Because of the governor's mandate that we have hands off, we're getting commercial building in residential neighborhoods, and people are rightfully upset about that. Over by the chapel, the upper chapel, I think it was on last week's Democratic Perspective or the week before.
Yeah.
That was heavily discussed, and that's just the beginning. Now we have another one that's being planned in the lower chapel area. There's, I'm sure, others elsewhere in the city. People did not sign up or move to Sedona to live next to a hotel.
Right.
So if it was, even on the outskirts of the residential neighborhood along 89A, people wouldn't mind so much.
Well, that's it. What that produces, I want to finish the numbers game here. I saw this on the LinkedIn social media website that Sedona went over $1 billion in tourism income and 10,000 jobs. So, we have the city council guy here careful to say, that it isn't tourism, isn't necessarily the problem. It's how we're going to handle that. And the innkeeper here is saying the same thing. And the plans that are, I have to admit, take a look at that plan. I know it's fresh. I haven't analyzed it, but what I have looked it over, and it does talk about who the tourism impacts. And it talks about the residents, but it also talks about the visitors and the businesses. And each one of those stakeholders in tourism and those 10,000 jobs and that $1 billion that Sedona has topped, for a city of 10,000, that's not too bad.
Sedona can't do a lot of things that other cities are doing. So you haven't finished their banning the cruise ships. We don't have that problem. It's a huge problem worldwide. But they also are banning tourist shops and other people. I believe in Amsterdam, they're cutting down the number of fast food joints. You can only have a few of them. And sometimes it gets silly. I mean,
oh, and
Amsterdam's famous for its red light district. They have now banned guided tours of the red light district. I don't know what to say about that, Mike.
In Venice, Luigi Borgaro, the mayor, has proposed a sitting ban, which would fine people up to $590 for taking a seat in any public space.
In Rome, they're banning people. There's a huge fine, €100, for sitting on the steps. Spanish steps, is that what they're called?
I was at the Spanish steps. I was there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was me and the guy that was hosing off the steps. So this goes back to what Steve Segner was saying: choose your times, choose your time period, And quite frankly, I lived in Sedona and I worked in Oak Creek Canyon in the 70s. It's always been the slide rock anyway.
Yeah.
In fact, it may be better now. I'm going to sit here and tell you that as a member of the Sedona Volunteer Fire Department in those days, driving a tanker down through Oak Creek Canyon and getting to slide rock, and without the controls that we have now, there were cars everywhere.
That will be improved. There's a process that's
improved. It's improved now. It's better than it was.
But the city, you know, the city put in, I call them the yellow shirts, a year or so ago. And they've made a huge difference in traffic. The city has done a great job of incrementally making changes. You just have a few people in town who see the city council only works for them. But the city council represents the visitors. It represents the employees, and it represents the people who live here too. So they have a big job. They have to balance all this out. The good thing is that we have money to do it. You know, most cities can't afford to do a lot of things. We have money that we can do. The city has hired the Chamber of Commerce to put in their marketing program. It's not the Chamber's marketing program. It's the city's marketing program. The Chamber is told exactly what to do, exactly what to spend, and they are controlled totally by the city. And I want to get that across because people think, oh, the Chamber's just gifted $2.5 million a year. That is not true at all. And there is no sharing with the Chamber. The Chamber is given money by the city council, and it's supervised by the city staff.
One thing I just want to interject after Steve, people forget the Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau are two different organizations within one.
Mm-hmm.
We hired the Tourism Bureau. The Chamber of Commerce themselves is a totally separate entity where they represent their members. And we have the Tourism Bureau doing all this work for us. So a lot of times people on social media will slam the city council for hiring the Chamber of Commerce to do these things, and they already have money. Why do we want to be regional? Because it's the regional Chamber of Commerce. Well, no, Tourism Bureau is what we're dealing with. And a good, healthy city needs to be regional. We need to take care of, like Steve said before, Jerome and Cottonwood and Clarkdale. We need to work together, which we are.
We tried to make that clear when we had the mayor on the show, Sandy Moriarty was on. And certainly you can call the city and... But there is also the next step, and that is trying to identify that agency or organization that really is responsible for whatever it is that you want to discuss. When it comes to Airbnbs, that isn't the city anymore. That's the state. Call your state. He was here. He told you some things, and I'm sure he got an earful. But I'm also sure you need to involve more of the state.
He's a very slippery guy, I think, Steve.
He's very slippery. I asked him specific questions like, you know, who introduced the bill and who voted on it? And he says, well, I can't even remember what I had for breakfast. Well, he did. He pushed the bill through. He was instrumental in the bill. So he's just trying to get reelected. And I think one thing we have to be careful of is that in Arizona, we need to look at the state senate. Okay, it's more important than even local politics because nobody watches them, and they do crazy things. So I think if we want to clean this up, we need to absolutely get better representation at the state level.
It is these ideologically driven, and I don't know what else to call it, policies.
No, I think that's exactly right.
That's exactly right term. And they don't represent anyone other than this, I don't know, the Goldwater Institute's, small section. I mean, even that, they are just so And yet they are put into public policy willy-nilly.
They're representing an ideology rather than people.
Yeah, but
I mean, you really have to talk to people, and they should have thought this through before they did the Airbnb
thing.
That was a sort of a no-brainer, and deliberately not have any discussion of the thing if the whole bill is unconscionable.
I think they did. Excuse me, one minute. I think they did think it through, but not in our favor. They were thinking about the people who really have the boots on the ground, the cities and towns. There's seven cities and towns in the state that are tourism related. All of us are hurting, and it's not just tourism. You know, we don't have enough employees anymore to fill any of our stores. If you go up and down in Uptown or in West Sedona, you see help wanted signs all over the place because the people who used to work in those stores, they don't live here anymore because they used to live in long-term rentals. Those long-term rentals have been converted to short-term vacation rentals. And once you go beyond Clarkdale or Jerome or Camp Verde, there's no place else to live that you can drive to in a reasonable amount of time.
People are driving all the way. I interviewed some people. They were driving all the way from Camp Verde every day.
Right.
Driving from one of the Jeep companies. Both of them worked, and they had two kids and three dogs.
And you can't go any further than Camp Verde because then you have the desert.
Yeah, and the trouble with Sedona is the average age is 59 to 62. They don't have kids. We don't have this supply of teenagers and 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds. They move the minute they can. So it's really tough market. And you're totally right. All the casitas, back bedrooms, and pool houses that somebody used to live in, they were our workers. And they're paid very, very well in Sedona. The starting wage in Sedona is $15 to $17 an hour. So this is better than manufacturing work in the Midwest. So it's not about pay, and we will pay more for good people. That'll happen automatically.
They're happy to have them because if longevity in a...
What happens in this state of Arizona is it's always been based upon people moving from the east from high-tax states to low-tax states, and the way you stayed elected is you talked about no taxes, no taxes. Well, those are changing. The demographics are now changing. 30-year-olds are moving in. 10 years from now, we'll have a million more people in Phoenix, and they'll all be under 50. So you know what? It's going to turn around at the state level.
Without taxes, you really can't do anything. And people don't want to hear that. But the tourism, nothing can be managed. And we're moving as, you know, a billion people traveling internationally. A quarter of the tourists are Chinese, and the Chinese middle class is still small compared to the rest of the population. We're heading into a higher and higher number of people on the road. It has to be more intensely managed at all different levels than before.
The other two things, the other conflict I see, are the two things that are going on, as Steve already alluded to it, we have an experiential tourist class now that wants... In some cases, some want to just drive through, but and that's how they saw Sedona. But there are those that want to have that experience, and so they end up in neighborhoods, or they'll end up in places where tourists don't normally go.
Or even on Mount Everest,
so
they'll pay $100,000 to be taken to the top of Mount Everest, and we have, I mean, people are dying like, not like flies, but they've been dying pretty because they're not mountain climbers. They're just guys who want to go up on top of Mount Everest. Apparently, people push and shove each other on the top of Mount Everest so they can get selfies up there. I mean,
Mount Everest was on Condé Nast's 15 most troubled tourist sites.
Yeah.
But that's what you have. So you have this interaction of places that usually didn't see tourists. Or residents that didn't see tourists, all of a sudden are seeing tourists.
But the good news is Sedona is ahead of the curve.
That's right.
We have a plan. We have a state-approved plan. We have an amazing chamber of commerce and visitor center. We have the money to do things. We have a city council that wants to do things. So these are all positive things, but we're still going to have negative people who say, I don't want those people here. And it's so... We can't listen to them. We need to ignore them. And I think we need to take the bigger view that we are a tourist town. If you lived in a town in Kansas that had 8,000 people, you'd have a Walmart and maybe one restaurant, okay? So look at everything we have here. It's because of the tourism.
Scott, any comment from the city council point of view on all of this? You guys have a plan. You're working on it. What I hear as just sort of a citizen of Sedona, the big complaints, I don't hear any complaints about the tourists exactly. I only hear complaints about traffic and also these Airbnbs in their neighborhoods. I don't really, the tourists are not mean on the trail. They're all a bunch of nice folks.
Well, the only thing that we're hearing about the trails is the tourists don't know how to keep it clean.
Yeah.
They don't know how to be environmentally friendly. And that's where the one of the pillars of the Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau is going to be taking effect and try to educate people. You don't leave anything behind at all.
And it is an education. You can pass all the laws you want as far as keeping the trails clean, but it's an education thing. You're not going to be out there probably to enforce anything. Once you catch them, you can...
But you see, this again is where the hotels come into play. If people stay at a hotel, I should say if, when they stay at a hotel, they're educated there. They're told about fire safety. They're told about when we have a no smoking ban. They're told about don't go into the forest with flip-flops and tank tops with nothing, with no water. When you stay in an Airbnb, there's nothing. There's no education. There's no interaction. You stay there. Usually, it used to be in the beginning, you'd be greeted by somebody. It would be given a little bit of information. That's not even happening anymore.
Yeah, you have to be careful here, folks. This is really this is not Disneyland. And I know that when I was driving Jeeps, we have big barrels of water on the front of Jeep. And I don't know how many times I was stopped by hikers who had run out of water, and we would refill their bottles for them.
But there are
it's elementary common sense. Hiking here in summer, you need to carry water. And it is an educational process.
But we have people that criticize the city and the chamber on social media a lot for, like, even maintaining trails, giving money to the Forest Service to maintain trails. They're saying, why are we using tax dollars to maintain trails? Okay, the whole idea is we are a tourist town. We have to take care of the things that tourism uses. And we are using our tax dollars, our sales tax dollars that come from tourism, to work on trails and fix trails and put in parking lots. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's what we should be doing. They want us to absolutely ignore the tourism. Well, we can't.
What's their argument, Steve? Beyond they just don't want this negativity.
The argument is that they're spending our tax dollars.
And
in fact, they aren't. They aren't. The average person in this town probably pays between $70 and $100 a year in taxes and sales taxes. The average person who stays at my hotel for 3 days pays that in 3 days. So I collect between $12,000 and $15,000 a month that goes directly to the city. Okay? How many people can do that off of their home or their Airbnb?
Well, that's it. The philosophy is that if you be nice to them, they won't go away. They won't go away. But I want to make sure that we talk about, now there's lots of definitions here, and we wanted to start with this, but I want to get it in before the end. But what are we talking? We're talking about over-tourism here, and the UN World Tourism Organization defines over-tourism as the impact of tourism on a destination or parts thereof that excessively influences perceived quality of life of citizens and or of visitor experiences in a negative way. This definition shows how over-tourism can be observed both among locals who view tourism as a disruptive factor that increasingly burdens daily life, as well as visitors who may regard hard numbers of tourists as a nuisance. What I like about, I've seen other definitions, and that definition is complete as we could possibly have. Folks, this is a complex issue, complex local issue. It impacts several communities in the state. And so please, if you want to hear this show, it will be archived on our website, VVID, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org has our shows archived. You can listen to it again. It has a nice little summary written by one of our staff. We want to make sure you notice the donate button there on the VVID.org website to keep Democratic Perspective going. We have some great shows coming up. We've got Mark Kelly, Senator. We got a lot of good shows coming up, folks. Stay tuned to Democratic Perspective. Go to VVID.org, VVID.org, and get a lot of information about us and what's going on.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.